Hey, you want that to go?
We return now to the failed terrorism case, the failed bombing in Times Square over the weekend that has now become the arrest overnight of Faisal Shahzad, a man who's a naturalized American citizen from Pakistan who was pulled off a plane bound for Dubai last night by agents of the Joint Terrorism Task Force, federal combination of federal and local agencies. Todd Zwillick joins us, Takeaway Washington correspondent. We talk about the Joint Terrorism Task Force involving all kinds of interagencies. I mean, I suspect this goes all the way to the White House. There was a sort of terrorism watch going on all afternoon yesterday in Washington. How much were you able to observe, Todd?
Well, it's true that this went all the way to the White House via the Justice Department. Questions about this case and how the case was being handled yesterday were shot straight over to the Department of Justice, and I think that's why you heard Eric Holder, John, making the early morning statement this morning. As of yesterday, before the arrest was made, pretty much the only thing you were getting publicly was either unnamed administration officials talking to reporters, for instance, from the Washington Post, and statements from Robert Gibbs, who made sure to call this a case of terrorism pretty early in the day yesterday.
Although it's obviously a case of terrorism. It seems like Gibbs was concealing more than he was revealing. And the fact that Eric Holder announces the arrest, it's really the beginning of his role in some sense, because his test will be how this is dealt with in the courts. There's going to be a hearing today. We may hear the Justice Department's charges against Faisal Shahzad. But I guess most Americans probably want to know, does this quick arrest mean that everyone's talking to everyone else, the data, the satellite intercepts, the phone intercepts, the police leads? What do you think, Todd?
Well, I think we'll learn a lot about that, especially when we see what the charges are, and then you get to have the questions answered about the size of any kind of international link. We know now that Faisal Shahzad is a naturalized Pakistani who has been to Pakistan. Okay, there's one international link, but links to broader terrorism, we don't know yet. I think what was really interesting about this, John, when you say this was obvious, this was a case of terrorism, was that the White House seems to have handled the immediate aftermath of this quite differently than, for instance, the Christmas Day underwear bomber case. And I know you remember that case.
Sure,
you remember?
Of course. Yeah.
Right after, the president downplayed that, called it an isolated incident. The Secretary of Homeland Security said everything worked right. They were criticized quickly and just so strongly from every side for not taking it seriously. What was interesting to me was that you saw a very different reaction from the White House to this, calling it terrorism right away, putting the Joint Task Force on it right away. They treated this very differently. It appears like they learned an important lesson on Christmas Day that wasn't repeated here.
Although, Todd, you had Janet Napolitano coming out with this lone wolf suggestion, rogue operation suggestion. Even Chuck Schumer was talking about that. I wonder if that's going to hold, or if there's some sort of retraction or moving away from that position. And if so, Janet Napolitano's been stung twice.
Well, she qualified all – that's true. She qualified all of those statements pretty heavily. You know, it appears now that this could be and I guess when we get more facts about what kind of connections, if any, Faisal Shahzad has beyond Lone Wolf or a small group of actors, I guess we'll see. We just don't know that right now. In terms of Senator Schumer, you know, most people don't hold members of the legislature responsible
right.
for statements
like
that.
They can say anything they want,
exactly.
All right, Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent, watching the developments in the Faisal Shahzad case. The Justice Department will announce its charges today in court, we presume, if there is a hearing and the Justice Department actually responds to a plea. Todd Zwillick watching it from Washington. Thanks, Todd.
We'll be following that all morning, but for our next takeout, we're going to turn to sports contributor Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen. He's following the NBA playoffs, the middle of the conference semifinals. We had game two last night between the Boston Celtics and the Cleveland Cavaliers. John had thought LeBron James was going to, score big. He didn't. Cleveland was leading 1-0 in the series, but the Celtics really made it look easy. I mean, they won 104-86. They made it look easy.
They played like they had the heart of a champion, and I've talked about the heart of a champion a lot, and it's when teams that have been there before and are at a critical point in the season, a critical point in the playoffs, and they deliver amazing performances. And the amazing performance last night was the point guard Rajon Rondo. Of course, the big three for the Celtics came through, but Rajon Rondo scored 19, had 19 assists. That's a Celtics playoff record. Now, wow. To put that in context, the Celtics have won 17 NBA championships.
Wow. Well, we also had game one between the Sacramento Spurs and the Phoenix Suns, so Arizona finally got a little bit of love on the court, right?
They won 111-102 over a Spurs team, which is, once again, one of these teams that in the past 10 years they've dominated the playoffs, dominated the NBA championships. For the Suns to be able to punch out a victory in this one suggests a lot. In the past years that the Spurs have beaten the Suns in game one in the playoffs when they've met, the Spurs have gone on to win the championships.
Whoa, so this is a really interesting stat.
This is good. And it also, Jason Richardson, Steve Nash, the point guard, scored 33 points. That's excellent. But Jason Richardson had 27 points. When Jason Richardson scores 27 points in these playoffs, the Suns win.
That didn't look easy, though. That was a closer game
between
the Spurs and the Suns. And we have two games tonight. The first is the game one between the Atlanta Falcons and the Orlando Magic. What are you expecting here?
Well, there's two things that I want. 8 versus 48. 8 days of rest that the Orlando Magic have had and 48 hours of rest that the Atlanta Hawks have had.
Interesting.
So that should be something to look at. Are they going to come up rusty? Are the Magic going to come in rusty? Or are the Hawks going to just be battle-tested and ready to go?
So that's tired. They could be tired.
They could be exhausted.
Yeah, exactly.
The other one is Jamal Crawford, the sixth man of the year. He plays for the Atlanta Hawks, and he's been lighting
Falcons.
It up. Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah, exactly. So the Utah Jazz and the Los Angeles Lakers are also meeting tonight. And Los Angeles leads the series. Everyone expects Los Angeles to win, and they expect Kobe Bryant to continue. You've been saying that he's actually playing really well.
He's great, but I think the real key tonight, if the Jazz want to win, they have to make Ron Artest score the basketball. If they can stop everyone else and force Ron Artest to score, and that just lets you know the type of squad that LA has. They have Ron Artest as the guy let's make him shoot, because if they make him shoot and he gets hot, the Lakers will kill them. But lately he's been timid on his offense, so that's their game plan. If they can get the ball to Ron Artest late, then they might have a chance to win.
Okay. Lakers are streaky.
Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, Takeaway Sports Contributor, thanks so much.
Good morning.